Good morning. Welcome to Rabbi Sachs's Sunday morning shiur. This morning, the shiur is being sponsored by Esther and Irwin Levengrau in memory of Aryeh Ben Yitzchak, Irwin's father, Arthur Levengrau of Hashalom. May the learning this morning be Aliyah Nishmaso, Chavah Gadol Yisrael.
In Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Hey, there's a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding the obligation of tefillah. It's clear from the Gemara that davening Shacharis, Minch, and Mariv is not min haTorah, but rather that is a chiyuv derabanan. But does that mean that tefillah is only a mitzvah derabanan in its entirety? The Rambam writes that one should not make the mistake and think that tefillah is derabanan. There is a mitzvah min haTorah of davening each and every day, and that is the mitzvah min haTorah. It's written in the pasuk of Vavadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. But the Gemara tells us that Avodah Shebalev is a form of tefillah. And therefore the Rambam writes that davening regularly, once a day, each and every day, that is a mitzvah min haTorah. Even if one should assume that there is a chiyuv min haTorah of davening, how in fact do you know that that is once a day? Perhaps this is part of a much broader approach, because sometimes the Torah will tell us that there is a mitzvah, and the Torah does not tell us how often this mitzvah is to be performed. In some cases, the Torah is very specific. In other cases, it is not. When it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of tefillin, we've discussed in the past, that, of course, there is a chiyuv to don tefillin, and the Gemara debates whether Shabbos and Laila is man tefillin or is not man tefillin. We assume, for example, Shabbos min haTorah is not zman tefillin. Laila, Rav Rishonim assume min haTorah is man tefillin. We don't put on tefillin at night because one has to preserve the kedusha of tefillin, and at that time we're afraid a person may doze and fall asleep. But nonetheless, min haTorah, Laila is man tefillin. But what exactly does that mean? A person is obligated always to wear tefillin, but is there a minimal requirement of wearing tefillin sometime each and every day? You know, a person, for example, will think as follows. You know, on a typical week, and how often do I put on tefillin? 6 days, hopefully, 3-4 hours, stretching it a little bit. How long is the davening in Shacharis? No, so in that case, a person will say, you know, it's Sunday morning, I'll put on my tefillin for 4 hours now, and that'll carry me through until next Sunday. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, it's certainly not. His mission is found in Parakeh of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where he writes that, look, the Torah doesn't tell us how often. The Torah tells us to do so constantly. And when the Torah tells us that that is true minimally, it means once a day, each and every day. Even though that there is a fulfillment of a mitzvah, if you wear tefillin for the entire day, but the chiyuv of the mitzvah is at least once a day, each and every day, a daily obligation. Why? Because the Torah doesn't tell us this day as opposed to that day. When you have an open-ended chiyuv, minimally it's pamachas b'chol yom. And there are many such examples. And the Rambam writes this is true when it comes to tefillah. The Torah tells us we're obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our heart. The Gemara tells us Avodah Shebalev is tefillah. The Torah doesn't tell us how often to do so, so minimally, once a day, each and every day. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah maintains that no, tefillah is only a chiyuv midrabanan. Min haTorah, a person has an opportunity. A person has the privilege of engaging in tefillah, but the absolute chiyuv of davening is not min haTorah, that is only midrabanan. And that which the Gemara writes, that the mitzvah of Avodah Shebalev is tefillah, as a chiyuv, that is only drabanan. So as the Rambam writes, Shacharis min chemarev is drabanan, but the mitzvah of tefillah is min haTorah, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam would agree that if one does daven, one is fulfilling a Torah obligation. The Torah does tell us, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavchem, and certainly tefillah is a form of Avodah Shebalev, but the obligation to daven daily, that is only a mitzvah drabanan. The Ramban mentions perhaps there is an exception, and that is Be'es Tzara, based on what the Torah tells us in Parshas Balotza, Al Hatzar Hatzor Esfem. If a person finds himself in dire circumstance, maybe then there is a chiyuv min haTorah. But typically, davening each and every day, that is only a mitzvah drabbanan. The Prima Gaddin points out that if you look in the Ramban elsewhere, there seems to be a noted exception. This Prima Gaddin is found in several places in Simen Kuvav, and in the Psicha HaKolelis, the introduction of the Prima Gaddin to Shulchan Aruch, it's found later in Simen Tavtzadi, where the Prima Gaddin writes that even the Ramban would agree that on Shabbos and on Yantif, Tfila is a chiyuv min haTorah. Because the Torah describes these days as being Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh. What exactly does that mean? Kodesh, obviously, a time of sanctity, but what does Mikra mean? The Ramban writes, it's from the phrase of Kirui Ha'eda, a day of assembly. So therefore the Ramban interprets the words of Mikra Kodesh as a day of assembling for the purpose of Kedusha. And what exactly does that mean? The Ramban writes in Parsha Zemar, and the Ikra Perachav Gimel, Hakol Ne'esafim L'Kadesh Hayom B'Farhesia B'Tfilah. The Ramban writes, it's a time that everyone gathers to be Mekadesh Hayom in a public fashion. So, the Prima Gaddim writes that even though the Ramban comments that Tfilah regularly is only Drabanan, not really true when it comes to Shabbos and Yantif. Because the Torah underscores Shabbos Yantif as being a time that everyone gathers, L'kadesh Hayom B'Farhesia, and that is the obligation that we fulfill when we daven. And therefore the Prima Gaddim writes such a chiddush that on Shabbos, Tefillah is Daraisa. On Shabbos, the Prima Gaddim writes, Tefillah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah Daraisa. Because that's what Mikra Kodesh is, a day that everyone assembles. And therefore, even though typically speaking there is always an added kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur, but nonetheless the Prima Gaddim writes, even the Ramban agree that that is considered to be essential. The Prima Gaddim writes, this is mentioned in Simen Tavtzadi, where he writes the following chiddush. You know, our practice is Shavuos night, for example. You know, so many stay up and learn. It's not difficult getting a b'masik in minyan on Shavuos morning. That might be the largest minyan that many shuls have. In the Prima Gaddim's time, that wasn't always the case. It was the youngsters, right, that would stay up and learn throughout the night. The Balabatim were working, and therefore they were quite tired at night. As some of the youngsters, maybe they would nap during the day in order to go ahead and to learn throughout the night, and therefore the Prima Gaddim observed that in certain communities, that minyan that they would have Shavuos morning was very small, and it was made up of teenagers. It was like a teen minyan that they would have. And he quotes this Prima Gaddim. When a person is bar mitzvah, can we assume that they are an absolute bar chiyuva, that al pidin they are a gadol? Because in order to ascertain that a person is a gadol, there are two requirements. One is shanim, he has to reach the requisite age of 13, but also simanim, he has to demonstrate physical maturity. What exactly does that mean? That you're going to test every bar mitzvah boy and see physically whether he has that level of maturity or whether he does not, whether indeed all of the indicators have been met? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Nun Hey, you have a right to rely on a chazaka. There's a presumption that if a person has reached a certain age, so physically he is already developed. But it's clear that we only rely on that chazaka when it comes to dinim drabanan, not when it comes to dinim daraisa. So for example, if you're going to decide that a 13-year-old is going to be the Baal Telkeah for Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to rely on a chazaka. We're going to have to make sure that he has physical maturity, not just simply to reach the age of 13. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes, of course, it's an issue of bar mitzvah boy. Maybe his bar mitzvah is parsha zachar, in which case we're machmer for Tosa Sushita and brachos and daf yud gimel, megillah daf yud zayin, that that's a kriyas haTorah which is min haTorah, in which case we're not going to rely on a chazaka. That's why in many kehilos as well, the young bar mitzvah boy is not going to lain parsha zachar. They'll have the regular balkari lain parsha zachar. We don't rely on that sense of chazaka. So here the Prima Gaddim writes the chiddush that in order to have your minyan for Shabbos and Yantif, if the Ramban writes that Mikra Kodesh, that that's a mitzvah min HaTorah, in order to have a tzibur, so therefore we would not necessarily count this young bar mitzvah boy for that minyan on Shabbos Yantiv, interesting, even though he would, during the week. That's the chiddush of the Prima Gadim, a special chiyuv of tefillah on Shabbos Yantiv, because part of the way that we are mekadesh the yom of Shabbos Yantiv is by publicly gathering in order to declare that now it is Shabbos or now it is Yantiv. And that is not merely a private manifestation, but Mikra Kodesh, Krui Ha'eda, that is done in a public forum. It's an interesting chiddush that the Prima Gadim writes, the possibility of Tfilah Daraisa when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to the time of Yantiv itself. When it comes to the Tfilah Shabbos, perhaps there is another exceptional case that distinguishes it between tefillah during the balance of the week. You know, the Gemara describes in the very beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos on Daf Chavav that there's an obvious cutoff point between mincha and maariv. And somewhat unclear exactly what that line is. What is the last time that a person can daven mincha? So that's a machlokas for Rabbi Yudin HaChachamim. Whether the Zman HaMincha is at HaErev, let's assume until Shkia, until sunset, or do you assume that no, the Zman HaMincha is earlier, it ends at Flag HaMincha. Already an hour and a quarter before sunset, that is when the Zman Mincha comes to an end. And what is that machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? It's based on, of course, the Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. That is the basis of Tfilas Mincha, and therefore exactly when was that carbon offered? Until Shkia? Or do we assume that no, that carbon was offered until Plag HaMincha? And in turn, that will govern the window of Tfilas Mincha as well. So it's quite explicit. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda HaChachamim, what exactly is the end point of Tfilas Mincha? What's difficult is as follows, that the Gemara assumes that what is the earliest time that a person can daven Maariv? Well, according to the Chachamim, at Shkia, Erev, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, Plag HaMincha. And that is somewhat troubling, because although there are ample makoros to demonstrate that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree regarding the end of Tfilas Mincha, how do you know that there's any disagreement at all regarding the beginning of Tfilas Arvis? Let me give you the following example, that very Mishnah. In Brachos and Daf Chavav, has a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, when is the latest point that a person can daven Shachris? Is Shachris until Chatzos? Or Shachris until Dalid Shalos? Until 4 hours? Let me ask you. So, 4 hours, let's assume, roughly speaking, okay, at 10 o'clock in the morning, the Zman Shachris ends, you see a person davening Mincha at 10:15? You'll tell the person you're davening too early. Well, he'll tell you, what do you mean? The Zman Shachris, I was told, ends at 10 o'clock. You're going to tell him, well, just because the Zman Shachris ends, it doesn't mean the Zman Mincha begins. Well, why is one dependent on the other? But isn't that exactly the case when it comes to Mincha? Where the Gemara assumes that when is the earliest time that you can daven Maariv? Well, according to the Chachamim, it's at Shkia. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's at Plag HaMincha. How do you know that that's true? You don't find that there's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda HaChachamim when Maariv begins. You find there's machlokas Rabbi HaChachamim when Mincha ends. And why should we assume that Maariv begins when Mincha ends? Mincha doesn't begin when Shachris ends necessarily. So why should we assume that Maariv is any different? How does the Gemara know that that's true? Some will ask you very simply, how do you know this machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda HaChachamim, that Maariv begins either at Plag or at Shkia? We only know that Mincha ends. Why do we assume that one informs the other? So the Vilna Gaon points out the following. You know, the Mishnah tells us, Tfilas HaErev Ein LaKeva. Maariv does not have a fixed nature. What exactly does that mean? It's not kavua, it's not standard, it's not fixed. Well, on the one hand, it means that maybe the obligation of Maariv is not exactly identical to Shachris and Mincha. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. It is not as mandatory, not as compulsory as other tefillah sayom? Okay, but let the Mishnah say tefillah service is reshus. Why tefillah sa'erev ein la keva? So Rabbi Yonah points out that ein la keva has a dual meaning. On the one hand, it's referring to the obligation that the chiyuv, the daven marav, is not identical with shachris and mincha, but in a secondary sense, ein la keva is also referring to the window of time in which daven's marav. And that is a fascinating uniqueness that the Vilna-Gaon and Rabbi Yonah point out, that there's something unusual about marav. Tfilas Arvis does not really have a window, a time of its own. What exactly does that mean? If I were to ask you, when is the Zman of Shachris? You'll tell me very simply that Shachris is based on the Karmatamit Shal Shachar. Whenever you offer that Karban, that's when you daven Shachris. Good. What about Mincha? Mincha is based on the Karmatamit Shal Ben Arbaim. The Zman Mincha is determined by the Zman of the Karmatamit Shal Ben Arbaim. What about Tfilas Arvis? You know, there's no Karban which is offered at night. So why daven marev? Because you know, evarim upadarim, fats and limbs of the various karbanos can continue and burn even at night. Even at night, but not only at night, even at night. So it's somewhat unusual that if the entire basis of tefillas arvis is evarim upadarim, maybe one would have insisted as follows. A person is obligated to daven one tefillah during shachris, one tefillah during mincha, and an additional tefillah any time of the day. Because evarim upadarim can be offered at any time of the day, during the day, and even at night. It's somewhat unusual that we can only daven mariv at night. Why exactly is that true? Apparently, what you see is as follows. But you know what? Tefillah sa'erat ein lakeva. Mariv really does not have a fixed window in and of itself, but rather as follows. Chazal said that, look, you're obligated to daven shachris, you're obligated to daven mincha. In addition to that window of obligation, we insist that you daven an additional tefillah. An additional tefillah, which is neither during the Zman shachris, nor during the Zman mincha. In other words, that the tefillah service begins when the Zman mincha comes to an end, and the Zman marav continues until the Zman Shachris. We don't have an overlapping window of tefillah, but by definition, Marav is considered to be a tefillah nosefes, an additional tefillah, when the Zmanim of Shachris and Mincha are no longer applicable. And therefore, exactly, tefillah sa'erev ein lakeva. It doesn't have a fixed time of its own, but the Zman of Marav is determined by. So, the Zman HaMincha is determined by the tefillah, the Korban of Tamid Shoben Arbaim. It has nothing at all to do when Shachris ends. But Marav has everything at all to do with when Mincha comes to an end and when Marav begins. And that's the meaning then of the Mishnah, the Tefillah Sa'erev, in Lokeva. And that's why the Gemara assumes as a Dover Pashut that, well, if you're going to tell me that Mincha ends at Plag, Rabbi Yehuda, that means that the Zman Marav begins at Plag. And if you're going to tell me, according to the Chachamim, that Mincha ends at Erev, Marav will begin Ba'erev. No? Because it doesn't have an independent time, but rather it's bookended by Mincha and Shachris, and therefore that is the meaning of Tfilah Sa'erev, Ein Lakeva. So that's the Chiddush that the Vilna Gaon points out, that Marav is somewhat unusual. After all, it's as though that the Torah wants us to daven an additional tefillah, which is neither shachris nor mincha, and therefore, yes, its zman is determined by the conclusion of mincha and the onset of shachris. This perhaps is helpful in the following sense. You know, regarding that machlokas Rabbeinu Chachamim, that what exactly is the cutoff point of mincha and marav, plag or shkia? How do we paskin? So the Gemara says the following, that avad kemar avad, avad kemar avad. You know, you can opt for the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, or you can follow the sheet of the Chachamim. The Gemara leaves that open, at your own discretion. A person can make that determination. Rabbi Yonah writes, that was true then, but it's not true now. Because Rabbi Yonah points out that Klal Yisrael has determined that Tfilas HaMincha is Ara Erech. But how many kehilos do you know that always daven mincha by Plag HaMincha. And after Plag, sometimes we're lucky if he makes Shkia. No, Plag HaMincha. Is that true? Isn't it obvious that we're opting for the Shita of the Chachamim? So therefore, for us, we no longer have a right to say, I'm going to rely on Rabbi Yehuda. And many other Rishonim disagree that in principle, what the Gemara says, rely on either one Shita or the other Shita, is certainly true. And therefore, Ovid Kamar, and therefore a common practice, let's assume for example, if you'll have an early minyan on Lel Shabbos, you're making early Shabbos, so therefore we're going to rely on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're davening Mariv after Plag, but before Shkia, that's reliance on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But many, many posts can point out, no, with one caveat, and this is what you find already in the Rishonim, the Rashi and Rabbi Yonah, can you follow both Shitas? Or, as one might formulate, can you father neither Shita? No? You're going to daven Mincha and Mariv during the same window of time. After Plag, before Shkia. And you're going to argue that, well look, when it comes to Tfilas Mincha, I'm holding like the Chachamim, that I can still daven Mincha. And now, a few minutes later, when it comes to Mariv, I'm following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that now I can daven Mariv. Is that really a possibility? Of within the same window, davening two tefillos, one like Rabbi Yehuda and one like the Chachamim. Does that really make sense? No, to be able to go and do that. True, the Gemara says Ovid Kamar, but don't we demand a certain sense of consistency, and certainly within one day? You know, so if you're always going to try to split Plag, your early minyan during the summer is going to have to be very, very early. Now, if you daven at 7 o'clock, the early minyan's at 7 p.m., you're always going to be davening Mincha and Mara during the same window of time. After Plag, right, and before Shkia. Sometimes it doesn't take much of an adjustment, because if that 7 o'clock minyan would be a quarter to 7, not 7, it would be 6:45, for most of the summer, you're going to split Plag. Because for most of the summer, Plag is about 7 o'clock. Now, sometimes that small shift can make a world of difference. 7 o'clock, you're never going to split Plag. Quarter to 7, in most cases, you will split Plag. But at the beginning of the summer, you really have to dive in early. You really have to dive in early. No, you're going to have to call that first minion, right, for a very early window of time in order to be able to go ahead and dive Mincha before Plan. So that always is a difficulty. Now, how do you justify the fact that in many, many communities they will daven on Lel Shabbos, Mincha and Mariv during the same window of time? That's a difficulty, and there are many postconditions that one should certainly avoid going ahead and doing some. As I mentioned, sometimes a small adjustment can make a significant difference. But this is what the Pri Yitzchak writes. Yitzchak Ketzeberger, Chelek Beis, and the Tshuvas, Simen Tes. Right? A fascinating view. Zman Mariv does not really have a time unto itself. The Zman Mariv begins when the Zman Mincha comes to an end. So let's assume during the week a person will daven Mincha and Mariv during that same window of time, after Plag, before Shkia. That's a type of disaster. No? Either way you look at it, one tefillah is out of place. Either Mincha or Mariv. How can you have them both in the same window? But maybe that's not true of Lel Shabbos. Because you daven Mincha, and after you daven Mincha, you daven Kabbalah Shabbos, you mekabel Shabbos. Once you mekabel Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah writes in Reish Lamed Gimel, the Zman Mincha now has come to an end. Let's assume, for example, you're Makabel Shabbos. And all of a sudden you realize, I didn't daven Mincha. I'm not going to tell you, no problem. You still have another 15, 20 minutes until Shkia, daven Mincha now. I'm going to tell you, no, you were Makabel Shabbos. This is my Mincha. It's come to an end. You know what you should do? Daven Mariv and daven Tashlumin for Mincha. But you cannot go ahead and daven now. If it's Shabbos, the Zman of Mincha of Chol has effectively come to an end. So the Pri Yitzchak writes such a finish that, well, if you're Makabel Shabbos, Zman Mincha has come to an end. And Mariv does not require its own Zman. All Mariv requires is that the Zman Mincha comes to an end, and that is accomplished through Kabbalah Shabbos. So that this is Yishuv, that is his justification of the shul that will daven at 7 o'clock, maybe not on a Wednesday or Thursday, but on Friday, maybe yes. In other words, maybe not even Rabbi Yehuda, maybe even the Chachamim would allow you to daven Ma'ariv now. Because even the Chacham that always insist on Shkia, that's because until Shkia, there's still the Zman HaMincha. If you could somehow magically reduce the Zman HaMincha, then the Zman Ma'ariv naturally is going to kick in, because Tfilas HaErev Ein Lakev. That's the Chiddush there. The Priyitzchah writes to explain this practice. Again, many poskim assume that if you can shift to avoid, right? But nonetheless, it's a beautiful Chiddush to be able to explain that practice that many communities have of davening during the same window of time, two tefillos, mincha and mariv, and that possibility of reliance in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. It's a fascinating view. Yes.
Isn't Kabbalah Shabbos just an agreement to stop work, stop malacha?
It's more than that. It's more than an Isra malacha. The Gemara writes in Brachos and of Chav Zayin that one could be able to say the mitzvah of Kiddush at that time. Right? In some race study Aleph, the Taz writes, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos at that time. So acceptance of Shabbos and Tosefes is more than an Isra malacha. It's an Isra malacha, that certainly is true, but an Isra malacha and beyond. And many of the halachos of the given day, one could be yotzi at that time. So therefore, certainly when it comes to tefillah, right, it's not just an Isra Malacha on Friday and everything remains the same, but when it comes to tefillah, the Gemara is explicit that Rav Zali Shal Shabbos Barim Shabbos, that Rav used to daven Ma'ariv during Tosefes Shabbos. Not just simply that it's an Isra Malacha, but let's wait. We daven Ma'ariv during that time. So if one can daven Ma'ariv during Tosefes, maybe that indicates that there is a shift, that the previous day in its tefillah has come to an end.
There's some poskim who would disagree with pre-Yitzchak?
Yeah, Poshav Shach, one would assume, avoid the Tarta business. Yeah, that avoid that. Shift it earlier and avoid. But this is the pre-Yitzchak's issue. Not because of that Tosefes is only in Issa Malacha. He would argue that the Zman of Mincha, according to Chum, is until Laila. And even if you're Makabel Shabbos, but inherently that does not alter the Zman HaMincha. But it's a issue, right? It's a possibility to explain that what is a common practice of many, many communities. Yeah.
So when you're considering this Shabbos and the Tarki Disaster, how much latitude is the Rav of the Shul or the Shtot have to say, well, if I don't do this, then maybe 10% of my Kehila will not daven the Tzibur?
Right, correct, correct. I would tell you that sense of a Seva Chalav. The Mura Dasra has to know, you know, the community very, very well, and have the shoulders for that Shikul Hadas. Very, very often that really is the case. When it comes to Zman Kriya Shema, when it comes to Zman Tefillah, when it comes to Shkia and so on, yet the Mura Dasra determines the policy for the Kehila, 100%. And all these factors have to be weighed. You know, and maybe what was true once is not true now. Maybe it is true now. You know, sometimes there are shifts, and sometimes the notion of time can be, implemented in a somewhat different way. You know, it's often true as Zman Kriya Shema as well. The difference between, let's say, a 9 o'clock minyan as opposed to a quarter to nine minyan is very revealing in terms of Zman Kriya Shema, because most of the year, if you will daven at a quarter to nine, you can make Zman Kriya Shema. And most of the year, if you daven at 9 o'clock, you will miss Zman Kriya Shema. So sometimes that 15-minute window, it can, you know, sometimes you say we're going to get up and daven at 8 o'clock. To have the Shabbos morning minyan at 8 o'clock is the regular, who's, you know, Hashkama minyan, but what about the regular minyan? No, but sometimes a small shift, right, can make a huge difference. But absolutely, it's the call of the Mura Dasra, and again, many, many factors have to be weighed. That balance is something which is very, very critical. Yeah, I'm always very careful. I don't mean to. I come as a visiting magazine. Mura Dasra makes these calls. 100%. Another difference when it comes to Shabbos, which I think is a fascinating deal, is the following. You know, normally speaking, there's no Chazar Sashatz when it comes to Ma'ariv. The Rambam writes, that's because Tefillah Sarvis is Rishus. Right? The Rambam Perek Tes, Atochos Tefillah. If you're obligated to daven, we're going to institute a communal Shmon Esrei, especially for those who are not able to daven themselves. That was true in earlier. They didn't have a siddur, and therefore one of the focuses of Chazaras HaShas is Lahotzi Mi She'ein Obakim. Normally that's not true when it comes to Maariv. The Rambam writes because Tfilas Arvus is for Shus, and yet it's interesting that we do have a form of a Chazaras HaShas on Friday night, where the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, not in its entirety, but what we call the Bracha Achas Me'ein Sheva, single bracha that includes the themes in a skeleton form of the Shmoneh Esrei itself. And it's a fascinating issue. What exactly is its purpose, and why was it instituted? Rashi writes in Shabbos and Daf Chav Dalid the following, that realize Am Shebesadlas, that in many communities the shul was not located in the heart of the community, in the middle of town. Right? The shul was on the outskirts. And at times, the Gemara explains that it could be somewhat dangerous for a person to walk by himself from the shul to his home. And therefore, you know, it's pretty important that everyone should end davening at the same time, that everyone can walk home together. Am Shebesadlas. What would happen is as follows. People often would come late to shul, and therefore, you know what? Sometimes in our communities, those who come late are the first to leave. No, but that wasn't true in the time of the Gemara. Unfortunately, you came late. If you came late, no, you were the last one out, and you shut the lights. No, but okay, a different complexion. But a person came late, no, so he would be in the shul by himself. So therefore, Chazal instituted Mebrachachas Mein Sheva. What exactly was the solution? Now she writes as follows. You know what we did? We prolonged the davening. We prolonged the davening. We stalled it. No, because if we can prolong the davening, we're going to give this person time to be able to catch up. How do you prolong the davening? So in our shuls we have announcements. Now they prolong the davening. Now, Chazal, prolong the davening. Have a Chazaras HaShatz. Have a Chazaras HaShatz. Good? And that's what we do when it comes to Lel Shabbos. You know, according to Rashi, maybe one could have argued Chazal didn't have to institute a Chazaras HaShatz. Maybe they could have instituted that, say, five kapitel chaptilim at the end of davening, that also would prolong the davening, and everyone would leave at the same time because we'd buy time for the latecomer to go ahead and to daven appropriate. Okay, but Chazal instituted it in the form of a Chazaras HaShatz. So maybe according to Rashi, one could have argued it didn't necessarily have to be that way. But if you look in the Vilna Gaon, in Orach Chaim, Reish Samech Ches, the Vilna Gaon writes, that's the problem Rashi describes. And Chazal solved this problem by Brachachas Me'in Sheva, but the solution was very different. It's not that we're simply prolonging the davening, but you know what? We're instituting a Chazaras HaShatz in order that the latecomer could be Yotze with the Chazaras HaShatz. Not that we're just stalling and buying time. Normally we would say to a person, daven yourself. Oh, you came late? It's necessary to leave with the shul? Be Yotze, your Chiyuv of Shmoneh Esrei. With the Brachachas Me'in Sheva, very, very different. No? According to the Vilna Gaon, announcements wouldn't have helped, right? Or Tilim wouldn't have helped. We want to create a tool, a vehicle, that you can be Yotze your Chiyuv Tfila. So if you're on time, daven yourself. But if you can't, push comes to shove, so be Yotze with the Brachachas Me'in Sheva. In fact, the Torah writes in Reish Samech Ches that, let's say a person, for whatever reason, makes a mistake in his Shmoneh Esrei. Or let's say for whatever reason a person is in a situation that he doesn't know how to daven. So you know what? The Torah writes. He can be Yotze with the Brachachas Me'in Sheva. I would ask you, is that a Chiddush? So according to the Vilna Gaon, no, it's not a Chiddush at all. The whole Brachachas Me'in Sheva was instituted for people to be Yotze. See, according to Rashi, one could have argued, how do you know you can be Yotze with this? It was instituted, but it wasn't instituted as a way of being Yotze or Chiyuv Tfila. Maybe one could argue, according to Rashi, you have to daven seven brachos. How can you be Yotze with one bracha? But according to the Bible of Vilna Gaon, it's clear by definition that that's true, you could be Yotze. Because the whole Tfila was instituted in order to allow someone to be Yotze, namely the latecomers. What is true of the latecomer is also true of a person who doesn't know how to daven, or is also true of a person maybe who makes a mistake in the Shmoneh Esrei as well. So that's the comment of the Vilna Gaon. It's an interesting question. When was it that this problem existed? Right? And we would institute a Shmoneh Esrei, that I guess typically would suffice for all year long, but not for an unusual tefillah. Let's assume, for example, it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed. You can't be yotzei with the bracha achas main sheva because you're not mentioning yantif at all. So it's clear that Chazal did not do this for every single opportunity of tefillah. They did it for the norm. They didn't do it for exceptional windows of time throughout the year. They didn't do it necessarily for a Rosh Chodesh. They didn't do it necessarily for a Chol HaMoed or even for a Yantif. But in principle, maybe they could. The Chazal established a simple tefillah kavod that would work for most Shabbosos of the year.
During the week, the Gemara Brachos and Tosfos brings up that the whole point of Yirei Neinu, of that bracha, was to prolong the davening so that somebody who came late could skip that portion.
Right, that's one of the reasons for that, but that was a much later takana that some Rishonim had. But the situation was different. In other words, in the time of the Gemara, but Rashi points out, in the time of the Gemara, many were not coming to shul during the week for Ma'ariv, but they were doing so when it comes to Shabbos. And therefore, there was no Baruch Hashem Le'olam Medina de Gemara. That's a much later takana that Tosfos says that Rambam do not have. So that itself, that does not focus Shoshana, but recognizing right a different reality. So the Vilna Gaon points out Yidiyotze with the Bracha Achas Min Sheva. I'll tell you a comment to the Vilna Gaon Lashitase. Who says the Bracha Achas Min Sheva? Who says Magen Avos? So, you know, most common practice is that the Chazan will say the Bracha Baruch Ata Hashem. The Chazan will say the end, the middle, everyone says. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is very makbid that, but the Chazan should not say it simultaneously because you have to hear the Chazaras HaShatz. So therefore, if you're saying it, so therefore, wait until the Tzibur finishes, and then the Chazan should individually say, Magen Avos, a very common practice, not to say it in unison, but the Chazan begins when the Tzibur ends, so Slavetchik, the Chazan Ish was very makbid, that should be true when it comes to Modim as well. That you have to hear the Chazan hear every word, and therefore Modim should not be recited simultaneous with Modim Drabanan of the Tzibur, but rather you wait until the Tzibur finishes Modim Drabanan, and then the Chazan continues, not the Chazan begins Modim, because the Chazan should not begin Modim after the Tzibur, because that looks as though that the entire Tzibur is being Mishtachav as Hodah, and the Chazan wants no part of that. He doesn't want to participate. That one should not do, as though the Chazan is disassociating himself from the Modim of the Tzibur. So Slavetchik split, that was the minhag of the Chazan Ish as well, that Modim or Modim and Achnolach, that word or those words are recited in unison, aloud, then the Chazan waits, and then at the end the Chazan goes ahead and picks up with Sha'atahu, or that example, right? Just like we do when it comes to Brach Achas, Main Sheva. That's not the minhag Hagra. The minhag Hagra is only the Chazan recites Magen Avos. The Tzibur just remains silent. That's a Gaon Lashitase. Because the Gaon points out the whole purpose of this is a Chazaras HaShatz. And when it comes to Chazaras HaShatz, the Chazan recites the Chazaras HaShatz from beginning to end, and the Tzibur listens attentively, but silently. Not that that was the Minhag HaGra, the Tzibur does not say Magen Avos. That's the Lashitase of this whole understanding of the Gaon. So according to the Gaon, by definition, the reason that this tefillah was instituted was for an opportunity for a latecomer to be yotzei. And even according to Rashi, maybe if that wasn't why it was instituted, but the Shulchan Aruch does write, Reish Samach Ches, that you can be yotzei. You can be yotzei. Why is that true? Why is it that if a person is obligated to daven seven brachos, he can be yotzei with a single bracha? Why is that so simple? I'm obligated to daven seven brachos, and I daven one. Is it so simple that I can be yotzei? I'm obligated in Berachas HaMazon, and I recited Alam Echia. I hit all the themes, but in one bracha, not in a separate bracha. It's so obvious that I'm yotzei. No, I'm not yotzei. One could argue my yotzei min haTorah. That's a din of Rabbi Kivega. Midaraisa, you have to bench, so maybe midaraisa I'm yotzei with one bracha. Midaraisi, do you need three brachos? That's a fascinating chiddush. Is a person yotzei berachas hamazon midaraisa with an alam echid? Interesting chiddush. On the one hand, it's only one bracha, it's not three brachos. On the other hand, there's certain themes in berachas hamazon you don't have an alam echid. Bris and Torah. And the Gemara writes that Pristin Torah necessary, but is that a Din D'Oraisa? Is that a Din D'Rabbanan? That's my focus also on the Ritva. Not so simple. You know why that's also very relevant? Not for us right now, but if you have a Safek Birchas Amazon Alamechia, and sometimes you have, well, what do you do on this stuff? No, do you make a Alamechia or do you bench? The Safek. Safek is. Well, Safek D'Oraisa is Lachuma. Safek Ranan is Lakula. Is the Safek whether something is Birchas Amazon Alamechia? Is that a Sfek D'Oraisa? Or is that a Sfek D'Rabbanan? Very unclear, no? That's the Din Ravi Kevega. Because if Min HaTorah you could be Yotzi Berchas Hamazon with an Alamichia, so a Safek Berchas Hamazon and Safek Alamichia is a Safek Durabanan. Or maybe Lakula means an Alamichia, don't say all of Berchas Hamazon. An interesting deal. But since when can you be Yotzi with one bracha when you're supposed to daven more? You're supposed to daven seven brachas, and you're Yotzi with a single bracha? So the Beis Yosef writes in Reis Samaches, this is only because Tefillah Sarvis is Rishus. Only because Tefillah Sarvis is Rishus. If there would be an absolute binding chiyuv to daven seven brachos, you're not going to be yotzei with one. Just like if you have to daven Berchas Hamazon, like you're not going to be yotzei with an Alamechia. It's not enough. You have to daven three brachos, like one bracha. But since Tefillah Sarvis is only Rishus, that is what allows us, if necessary, to be yotzi with one bracha. And therefore, for the latecomer, one bracha. Or maybe a person who makes a mistake in a Shemon Esrei, one bracha. If a person doesn't know how to daven, he can be yotzi with the bracha achas me'ein sheva. It's an interesting chiddush. That the ability to be yotzi with the chazans, magen avos, is because tefillah sarvis is rishus. I ask you the following question. Here I would suggest this difference. A person, for whatever reason, he didn't have a mincha Friday afternoon. Didn't have mincha Friday afternoon. Oh, even the case you mentioned before, he was going to have mincha, but he was makabel Shabbos. Makabel Shabbos, he can't have mincha. Came to an end. He didn't have mincha Friday afternoon. What do you do? You're obligated to daven tashlumet. So you have to daven Mariv, and you have to daven tashlume mincha. Good. Mariv and tashlume mincha. Let me ask you the following question. Rishus versus Chovah. Rishus versus Chovah. What is Rishus and what is Chovah? Not so simple. Typically, Mariv is a Rishus, Mincha is a Chovah. Good? Okay. I didn't daven Mincha. I have to make Mincha. Tashlumei Mincha. Is that a Rishus or is that a Chovah? Well, maybe one would argue it's a chovah. After all, it's a makeup of mincha. Mincha is obligated to daven. But it's a little bit unusual that the tashlumin should be more chamor than the ikar hatfila. You know, usually you daven tashlumin, you piggyback, no? First you daven the tefila that one is obligated to daven, and on its coattails, one could go ahead and daven the tefila tashlumin. The Rith even points out if you reverse the order, and first tashlumin and chovah, you're not yotzei. Tashlumin follows the Tefillah Chovah. So, isn't it somewhat unusual that the makeup can be more stringent than that which is obligatory? So here, interestingly, you find three different deos in Achron. That's saying Chiddush. There is the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is found elsewhere, Simen Kuf Chavav, where the Prima Gadim writes what I would have said. That's probably what we would have thought as a starting point. That Marav is Rishus and Tashlumin Mincha is a Chovah. Look, Marav is Rishus, but the second Shemoneh Esrei is a makeup of Mincha, and you're obligated to make up for that which you missed. So therefore, Marav is Rishus, Tashlumin Mincha is considered to be a Chovah. But you do find other extreme possibilities as well. There is a view of the Rishash and Brachos and Achavav, that how can the makeup be more chomer than the Ikar Tefillah Bezmanah? And therefore, Tashlumei Mincha is only Rishus. Tashlumei Mincha is only Rishus. And then you have an extreme view. I'll say this is probably the most difficult shita. Rav Shlomo Kugler, Elef Lecha Shlomo, and Simen and Gimel, where he writes, you have to daven Tashlumei. And you can't daven Tashlumei without a Tefillah Chovah. So the need for Tashlumei Mincha converts Mariv into a Chovah as well. That's a Chiddush. But you have three views. If a person didn't daven mincha, the Shemoneh Esrei is about going to daven. Mariv, followed by Tashlumei Mincha. Chovah Rishus. So one possibility is they're both Rishus, the Rishas. Other possibility is they're both Chalva, or Shlomo Kluger. Other possibility from a Gadim is, what do you mean? Marv is Rishus, but Tashem Mincha is considered to be a Chalva. Well, interesting Kiddush. So, does it really matter? Do it. Just daven through Shmoneh Esrei. So here, interesting Kiddush, no? Can you be Yotzei one of the Shmoneh Esreis with the Bracha Achas main Shem? I have to daven twice. Let me daven once, and I'll be Yotzei my second with the Bracha Achas main Sheva. But can you do that? So, well, if you assume that is a Rishus, then you can. But if you assume it's the Prima Gadim, I said, what do you mean? That makeup is a Chova. And the only reason you can be able to say any Chiyuv Tefillah, Bracha Achas main Sheva, is because Tefillah Sarvis is only Rishus, but that's only good of Marid, that's not good of Tashlumei Mincha. So with such fascinating possibilities, can you be able to say any one of those tefillos, or which of those tefillos, with the Bracha Achas main Sheva? And maybe that would hinge right down this particular issue.
So the Rishash, who says that
Tashlumei Mincha is Rishus. You could daven one Shmoneh Esrei, and then be able to say the second Shmoneh Esrei with the Bracha Achas main Sheva. And according to Prima Gadim, of course not. Tashlumei Mincha is a tefillah Sova, and you can't go ahead and do so. So, interesting possibilities. But the fascinating beer that the Gong suggests, that it's not just simply that we're buying time, but rather you're Yotzei with that Shmoneh Esrei, and that's the model of being Yotzei, a seven bracha Shmoneh Esrei, only with a bracha achas me'ein sheva. These are just various applications of part of the uniqueness of tefillah, and especially unique elements that one finds regarding tefillah shalom. Right, so that really we can't do. Right, it's necessary to daven a tefillah tashlumin which follows. So that also would be, even if in principle one could argue maybe yes, you have to make sure Meir would convert. So in an unusual case, you're going to daven the first Shmoneh Esrei, the Brachas Mei Sheva. You walk into Shul 8, the first Shmoneh Esrei, Brachas Mei Sheva, and then you're going to daven another Shmoneh Esrei as the tashlumin. Right.
You mentioned about sometimes it's a question about a young boy.
Right.